week, Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is Rivals Masters of the Deep. And I have one of the masterminds behind the game with me today. I have Chase with me. How's it going, Chase?
Doing good. How are you, Barry?
Awesome. Thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, man. No problem.
Awesome. Well, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your company and how everything came about?
Yeah, so I'm Chase Lehman. We started this company a couple years ago, actually centered around toys. We did a lot of art toys and vinyl toys, stuff in the kid robot kind of genre. And the entire time we were doing that, we were just creating these stories and these characters that we were just, you know, kept falling in love with. And we decided we wanted to actually get people into those stories rather than just hear those stories. So originally the toys were more of a do-it-yourself, we're going to send you one that's, you know, not painted, and you paint it yourself and come up with a story for them. And that was kind of like the idea we had going, but we still felt like it wasn't as into it as we really wanted to be. So we started cranking out this board game. We've always loved board games, so we wanted to crank out something that definitely got you into the game and the story itself, to where you can create your own stories through, you know, all these missions. And it's just been fun this whole deal so far. Loving it.
The whole journey has been a good one.
Yes, it's been hard, but it's been fun.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about Rivals Masters of the Deep, and what is the game? What can people expect from it, and kind of like the feeling of the game?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people ask, just like, if I were to compare it to any game out there, what would I compare it to? And it's definitely not like, you know, any other game right now, but
It's kind of unfair when people
totally,
say that,
totally.
Right? It's like, I know you're coming out with this cool new original game, but what is it like?
Exactly.
And you're like, it's like Rivals Masters of the Deep. You have to experience it yourself. But
No, totally. But
I understand why people ask that question.
No, that's exactly right. We've always loved games like Descent and miniature heavy games where we can actually take characters and move them around a board and fight, you know, evil. And that's kind of where we started with. It originally started along that line where you're going through a story, and we're just like, no, we needed to make something more competitive. And we came up with this idea that truthfully is close to HeroScape in simplicity, I would say. Like, we wanted younger people to be able to enjoy this game too. So we tried to make rules and the, you know, how you play just easy enough to where you could pick it up and just, you know, play away. It's got a lot to it, a lot of just detail behind it, but not complication. So we really, really wanted something that was easy. You could pick it up quick and just jump in. The cool things about it, I mean, we have a randomized map, kind of like Catan, where you get these tiles and then you place them out to make this lurk. The under the sea is called the lurk in these stories, and we randomly generate that by, you know, just placing it circularly around the map. And then each one of those tiles has different things you can do with it. If it's coral, it actually makes it to where it's actually a little bit more difficult terrain. We wanted to pull in that difficult terrain aspect. If it's a rock outcropping, we wanted to make it to where you can get on top and have a little bit better of a viewpoint. And of course, there's swimming, and there's events that happen like shifting tides, where you take the card and you actually spin it, and wherever the arrow points is where, you know, the tides shift and kind of throw characters around a little bit. So there is a little bit of randomness, but that's actually what makes it fun.
Yeah.
It's not
replayability.
Exactly,
to it.
Exactly. And that's what we really wanted to try to create, was something that's a new map every time, and that you could actually do things with the map. So
definitely. Well, I can definitely get behind that, because I play lots of board games, and there's games out there where you play once and you're just like, oh, that's fun. Maybe, you know, I'll play it again sometime, but they don't have that random element to it. And so, like, this is just like, oh, you know, next game will be totally different because the board will be different, you know, other elements will be different. So that definitely has a lot of pull to want to play it multiple times.
Exactly. And since the map's made of tiles, we're really wanting to, in the future, release a lot more locations and things like that. But with the base game, we just wanted to give a good understanding of just how the map works. But in the future, we'd love to create, you know, ruins and, you know, sunken ships and all this really cool underwater nautical just stuff.
Do some expansions and stuff like that. That's cool. So you mentioned that young players could play the game. How young are you thinking would be a good starting
game? Yeah, right now we have it 8 and up. We've tested it out with that age range, and while it's still a little bit complicated for them, it's not overwhelming. It's something that they could still pick up and start playing right away, and once they got through a couple of games, they completely understood it. So
that's good. That's because I have an 8-year-old, and so that will work out great for me. I'm always looking for games to be able to play with my kids, and so it's just like, you know, if I can involve them as much as possible, that game has that much extra draw to me.
Exactly. So. And that, what we try to do is create to where the dice are easy to understand, the cards are easy to understand. You might add a dice, you know, because of an ability, or you might, you know, just things like that. We wanted to make it to where it's still simple, but still has some good depth to it.
So who is the illustrator for the game?
The illustrator we have used has been Michael Anderson. He is pretty amazing illustrator, if you can't tell.
I love it. I just love the...
He's really good.
It's really cool, but it almost has like a cuteness to it
right? Yeah, I mean, they're all based off of, you know, the original drawings that we brought to him and just the stuff that we had in our heads, but we couldn't quite make it what we envisioned. And of course, he just brought it to life, and it's become just a beautiful thing.
That's really cool, and I love it. I mean, that was definitely one of my draws to it right away as well. It's just like, oh, this looks really cool as well. And then just to, you know, find out more about it, I mean, your game looks awesome.
Thanks, man.
I have to say.
Really appreciate it.
So, but as we're recording right now, you guys still have 16 days left to go on your Kickstarter, and you guys are already fully funded. So congratulations.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we fully funded in about 24 hours, 25 hours, somewhere in there. And then from now on, we're just hitting stretch goals and releasing new fun things as we can.
Sweet. So tell us a little bit about some of those stretch goals. What can people expect from those?
Yeah, right now, the things we have, we're trying to listen to everyone's comments and, you know, ideas. So we've been bringing stuff like the next one is actually pretty close, and it's going to allow people to have what's called base caps. So each one of the miniatures, if it's a lurker, it'll have a red base cap. If it's a Nautilus character, it'll have a blue one. And if it's a cog, it'll have gold. So it's just something you can add to it to be able to distinguish from the miniatures a little bit easier if you're not into the whole painting, miniatures. I definitely am into the painting. So for me...
I love painted miniatures. Am I good at doing it? No, that's the total thing.
Yes, exactly. And that's how I feel. But because of where we've come from in the past with our DIY toys, we wanted to continue along that same line of make it your own and just bring stuff from your own imagination. So it felt kind of wrong for us to just give them something that's completely painted and ready to go. And plus, again, there's, you know, price points there with manufacturing, but there's a lot that goes into that, you know, the thoughts behind that.
Definitely. Well, I like that. I love the, you know, the whole, here's your game, we have a lot of it, but yet there's, you can customize at least a part of it to what you want it to look at. So you adding your own colors or, you know, different, you know, making your groups look the same and stuff like
that. Totally. So. And then along the lines of, you know, just the stretch goals, we're wanting to provide more and more miniatures as, you know, we raise money. So there's definitely goals out there that are going to be, you know, we hit this goal and we're going to add a lot more miniatures to the game. We've already added what's called a mutated troll shark, an exclusive one that's sculpted just for Kickstarter backers. So that's already something we've already hit. In the future, we're wanting to hit, you know, upgraded card stocks, just things that we can actually do to the game just to make it better and crisper and, you know, good feel so that you know, cherish it a little bit more.
Definitely. So there's there's two different factions that you play in the game. One is the Cog Nation, and the other is the Nautilus. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the Cog is this kind of like steampunk, you know, factory-driven race that's just all about
the people of the land trying to invade the water.
Yeah, they're called the Topsiders, is what the Nautilus call them. And it's just these people that are striving to get this stuff called ether and are going to do whatever it takes to get it. And then, of course, the Nautilus on the other side of it, they kind of cherish the ether. It's this kind of holy thing,
yeah.
You know. And it, of course, just their tentacle, you know, faces are just fun.
Oh, of course, of course. So what part... What side do you go on? Are you part of the Cog Nation or the Nautilus?
It's funny because me and my brother are the ones who actually created the game. And my brother is Nautilus all the way, and I am hardcore Cog. So
there you go.
I mean, it's a rivalry just built in. So
Yeah. And I love it because some of the other features that you guys offer, I mean, you guys, part of your Kickstarter, you have T-shirts, you have dice bags, and you have a little bit of everything, so people can really get in on this world. So that's pretty cool.
Definitely.
So what? So as this is you know, Kickstarter and everything, and a lot of our listeners are other developers and people that are maybe considering starting a Kickstarter. So what advice would you give to someone that's wanting to start a Kickstarter, or maybe what's something that you wish you could have done better on this Kickstarter?
Ooh, I'm not sure about the latter, but definitely before you do anything, you have to have an audience. We've been building our audience for the past year, just around board games, through social media, through blogs, you name it. We believe that in order to even have a successful Kickstarter, you need to have a successful Kickstarter in the first couple of days. So
yes,
building that community.
It does seem to be that
yes.
way, where you have that really the big spike at the beginning, mm-hmm. and then you plateau for a long while.
That's how Kickstarter
and then there's
works,
a,
man. It's just
a littler spike at the
exactly.
end.
Exactly. That's how it's been for every single one of our other Kickstarters that we've, you know, successfully funded through. The toys were all Kickstarters, by the way, just letting
oh, okay,
you know.
Cool.
And yeah, the community base is definitely huge, and just building excitement in people before you actually launch your Kickstarter. Because if you just launch a Kickstarter, truthfully, although games is one of the highest funded genres in all of Kickstarter, it's still not it's just going to get funded. It's something you just need to build into people and get them excited first, and then once you launch, tell them. And then once
yes.
they know, if you count down to it, whatever you do to entice people, that's really what, you know, makes a Kickstarter successful.
No, that's really good advice, because I like how you mentioned, you know, there are tons of Kickstarters out there, but a lot of people that aren't as familiar with Kickstarter, they just see just the success stories.
Exactly.
Like, you know, this was funded on Kickstarter. This was funded on a Kickstarter. Everyone's like, oh, I could totally do that. But if you actually dive into it and find out, there's actually a larger percent of things don't get funded.
Oh, exactly.
And it's I think people need to recognize that, you know, maybe learn from what those people didn't do right, or, you know, like you said, build up your audience so that you have those people funding on day one and boosting that, you know, up the popularity charts and Kickstarter so more people will see it.
Totally. I mean,
and
you can just scroll through Kickstarter games and see tons of great looking games that, you know, have $100 backed. You know, it's not really
yes.
going anywhere because they don't have that audience. I mean, and Kickstarter has an audience, but whenever, let's say, for instance, if I were to scroll and see that a game that looks good but it only has $100 backed, I wouldn't back it.
Yeah.
Just for the fact
exactly.
that it doesn't look like they are prepared. It doesn't look like it's going to be something of quality. I mean,
that's one way to judge, you know, the successfulness or how well a game will be made through Kickstarter, seeing how many backers and how much funding they've already
mm-hmm.
have. Because you're like, okay, well, these people mean business if they're already have met their stretch, you know, met their initial goal, and now they're reaching stretch goals. I'm like, okay, well, I'll back that because I know I'm going to get some exclusive things now
mm-hmm.
because I'm a backer, rather than backing something that's not you know, has that traction, and then you're just like, oh, I'm not going to get this at all. That stinks.
Exactly. The people that, I mean, that really matter are the people that back at the very, very beginning, because that's really what makes your product seem like it's worthwhile.
Definitely. Well, and like you said, having your game fund within the first 24 hours speaks highly of not only of, you know, it speaks highly of the game itself, but also as you guys as a company, you know, kind of, you know, like, oh, this is not our first time doing Kickstarter. We know how things work and everything. And so seeing things fund within a day is always, you know, good way to, you know, bring extra and new audience to your
That's
company.
That's totally right. I mean, just to tell you the truth, our very first Kickstarter failed miserably. We were shooting, it was again for a toy, and we were shooting for $20,000, and we made $2,000 the first day, I think, maybe. And then from then on out, it was, you know, slow going. But
yeah.
Again, that was, we didn't even know what we were doing. We were, you know, under that assumption that you put it on Kickstarter, and if people like it, they like it.
Yeah.
But that's not really how Kickstarter works.
Exactly. So, well, and it's good that you took that experience and learned from it, and then, you know, now look at you guys now. You're getting projects funded and within a day.
Exactly.
So that's awesome. So we know that this project is going to get made. So when do the backers, when can they expect to receive the game? And then also, do you guys plan on bringing it to general retail?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we definitely plan on it. The big thing with, you know, anything is how much, I mean, all the money is really going into manufacturing. So how many copies of that can we really create based off of what we're raising? You know, and the very basic, you know, goal was just to get that basic 1,000 copies made. So the more we raise, the more copies we're going to be able to bring out to the retailers too. And at the beginning, I mean, it might not be a ton, but I mean, at least getting them on shelves, you know, could be an awesome thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the more money we raise, really, the more copies of the game we get to produce. So, and that's what we're excited about is beyond this, getting just that Rivals universe out there. Right now, we're trying to be very, what's a good word, cautious about how fast we can produce these things. We already have, like we've said on the Kickstarter, three manufacturers that we're talking to. And again, based off of that price point, and how competitive they are together will be, you know, who we go with and how fast we can produce these things and how many we can produce. And right now we have an estimated delivery date of March of next year. However, it could be a lot faster than that. We just wanted to give a more cautious timeline,
yeah,
just in case there are things that fail. And
exactly, you never know, you know, printing
exactly
snafus and
exactly
all those things, they can happen.
Exactly. We want to make sure this is a quality product and that's not something that we're just rushing to get done. So
are you picking a manufacturer that's in states or out of the states?
So they're all out of state, out of the states. They're, I mean, everyone knows who they are, truthfully. everyone
yeah
knows who LudoFact is. Everyone knows who Panda is. I mean, those are the kind of people we're talking to. So it's not like we're going to just like a factory. We're going to
yes
people that, you know, that people already trust to create. Plaid Hat uses Panda for everything. Of course, everyone and their dog uses LudoFact for European games and things of that nature. So, I mean, we're looking at all those kind of people and just wanting to pick the right people, the people that can actually get behind our game, Panda, and a couple other manufacturers like everything we pretty much post on Instagram and Facebook and contact us. So those are the kind of things we really like is manufacturers that kind of want our business and are willing to, you know, go the extra mile for us too. So
definitely. Well, Chase, thank you for being on the show today. I know that having a Kickstarter, it can be quite hectic, and
yes,
I appreciate your time. But why don't you tell people more where they can find out more about your company and maybe more about Rivals?
Yeah, more about Rivals is worldofrivals.com. We don't have the game on there yet. We're going to be putting that on there after the Kickstarter ends. But you can go find out a little bit more about the company World of Rivals. Just check out some of the toys, the other T-shirts that we offer, posters, all that good stuff. And if you want to back, hit us up on Kickstarter, World of Rivals. It's called Rivals Masters of the Deep.
Awesome. And you guys are, I heard you all over social media and everything.
Yes, so all over social media at World of Rivals. So Facebook, World of Rivals, Twitter.com/World of Rivals. It's pretty easy to find us.
Pretty easy. So just World of Rivals, and you could find them. And definitely go check out this this game on Kickstarter. There will be links within the show notes, so you guys can just have an easy click there. And Chase, once again, thank you for being on the show.
Barry.
And thank you to Dan Patrice, the board game man from the Geek All Stars, for our intro and outro. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.